Last time, on Poochie.
You don't know the stiffness, how much your motion has been limited until someone sinks their finger 3 inches into your back and then makes a hook and then
pulls.
If you could just sign this paper that says if anything happens to you, that is entirely your fault and not the fault of Bucci.
Highly irregular, but I guess so.
No, I would say it's highly regular, which is one of the things it says on this piece of paper.
Oh, okay.
So where is this pain? Where did it start?
It starts at the bottom and kind of spirals up in like a helix. I feel it in my chest.
Can crack you guys into a goo, a good goo.
Oh, yeah, the mind-body connection is very powerful.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
All right.
Ooh, that's like, yeah, I feel it in my shoulders.
All right.
Well, let's just go for it, then.
Okay, so imagine yourself
no, it
kneeling.
Doesn't make any
sink
sense,
your bottom
I'll
back
try,
onto your
I'll
heels.
Try.
Oh.
Ow! It hurts.
Ooh, jeez.
Ooh.
Hey, that's
kid.
Nice.
Come out, pop.
Well, is this going to realign my chakras?
No.
That's what I was calling for.
That's your hips moving back into place.
I'm saving all those zits, so I don't need you to pop them.
Yeah, in liquid form, man.
Yeah.
Pretty heavy.
Are you still cracking back?
I am.
It's definitely in my lower back. I carry everything with me like a snail.
I think a witch was just released from your lower back.
That little witch demon brings the whole back together.
Base of spine. Visualize red. Feel grounded. Below navel, visualize indigo. Gain insight. Throat area visual.
And now, this week, on Bucci.
I think it's 50-50 on whether or not I've done any good. But that's like every show. Call it Igabuchi. What's your name again? Dina?
Jeff.
Oh my gosh. So good. Yes. Yes. So delicious. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Hey. Wait. Hey. I can't.
Poochie's in a tizzy.
Ram. On that. I just need to. Missing a wheel. One of these rolly chairs. I said one of these rolly chairs is missing a wheel. Yeah. I just put it back on. That was that noise. Hey! It's Bucci! Juice! More juice. I've been plowing through this. Man, it seems loud. I've been plowing through this juice all week. Literally, because a lot of it froze with the cold weather. So I had to get out the juice blower.
Gulp.
Overusing that already. I'm really sick of this. I'm mixing it with Brandy. Not Brandy Norwood, the singer and actor. Oh, Bucci. No, the chat's getting all excited that Brandy might be on the show. Easy, guys, and one woman. It's Brandy the Liquor. Mmm. It's still pretty juicy, though. I'm not going to talk about juice this week because apparently last week I blacked out and talked about it for 30 minutes, according to my producer / wife. So that's not going to happen again. Not talk about any juice. Not the movie, not the liquid. Anyway. Cream of Coil left his Chinese kite collection in the studio. He's been making these Chinese kites. He got a bird, he got a flower, got a one that looks like his face. That is huge. It's like face at the end of a dragon. Bring it down. getting in between me and the mic. It's just his face. Okay. So, hope everybody had a nice week. I'm not going to stop to let you say yes or no. Let's just plow through and begin this show. But before I do, I hope everyone's back is feeling okay. I got some messages, Bucci@WFMU.org, if you do want to message me, that said you've made, I haven't been able to work for all week. You ruined my upper back, even though my lower back feels better. But ever, if you recall, I did have people sign that release that absolved me of all responsibility.
Sexy.
And there's nothing sexier than, it's not Bucci's fault. That's the sexiest sentence in America. So what am I going to do this week? Well, oh, so people who listen to the radio program Wake and Bake in the mornings here at WFMU might know or may know that I have a segment now on the show every Monday morning. Clay Pigeon has been so nice as to give me a little bit of time on his show, which is, as everybody knows, pretty good. No, it's very good. So that's cool. You can listen to that on Mondays. And this week's seg, or meant, whichever slang you prefer, was about art, specifically Bucci's art, the art that I have been trying
Bucci.
Been trying to work on lately, and the frustrations that come with that. Because I've been getting back into painting, maybe because of the winter, you know, you're locked inside. People who Bucci lies to think that he has never been a painter, but the people he is honest with, i.e., anyone who is not that guy Double G, they know that he could have been one of the top painters, basically, if only he applied himself and got a master's and wore red jeans. Which I went to an art opening a couple days ago, and everyone's in the red jeans and polka dots, polka dot puffer jackets. But if I did that, I started out as a house painter. Not house painter, meaning mob assassin, but an actual painter of houses and law offices. My aunt ran a house painting business briefly when I was in high school, and she hired me as sort of like cheap labor for the summer. Fall, winter, and spring. Full time, babe. 8 hours a day. You try learning about the War of 1813 when you're painting a house in Newport. One of those Gilded Age mansions. So, my grades, like me when I was on a ladder painting a ceiling, fell. But, you know, she was paying me okay for her, so I kept with it. But I soon realized that I can't just paint a house, you know? My artistic side was not fulfilled or filled by that. So I would kind of go a little bit, I'd go a little bit wild. I'd start painting more artistically, I guess, on the sides of all these houses instead of doing the flat, you know, tan. The big one, I did a bunch, but the big one I painted the Mona Lisa. It was like very good, exactly the same. Basically a carbon copy of the Mona Lisa, except I put a speech bubble coming out of her mouth saying, I'm smiling. I said, I'm smiling because Leonardo da Vinci painted such a great painting of me, and I was a little concerned that he'd make me look like that other thing he's famous for, the naked man making a snow angel. But he didn't. He painted my face and clothes very accurately, and it really came out good 4 stars. Some of those words, it was a big word bubble spilled over the front of the house and on the windows, and it was all over the front of the house. And I got yelled at. Of course, my aunt was pissed.
Trust, Bucci.
But no one could deny that it was good art, except for my aunt and the homeowners, whose house I completely destroyed. But nevertheless, I liked it. I liked my take on the Mona Lisa. It unlocked the meaning and mystery that behind that painting. People are really hate that painting because they're frustrated. Like, what does her smile mean? Tell me, painting. And my version gave them an easy answer, which is what good art should be. How do you know if it's good if you don't know what it means?
Bucci adage.
So I was fired, and after that I kind of lost interest in painting as an art and stopped. People in the universe are probably saying right now, oh, Bucci, but you paint with words every week. You push images into our head in living rooms every week. Your voice is like a splatter painting. And to those people I say, you're being willfully obtuse. I'm not talking about this radio show, obviously. I'm talking about literal painting on canvas, which is the most important thing in the world to me this week. So, at someone's urging, I forget who, probably Joe Bielock, I bought a bunch of canvases and paints and set them all up, got my old easel, and I made a bunch of brushes out of hay from the hay field behind my condo. There's actually still some ticks in the brush, which I think adds to the texture of what I do. And so basically all week I've been in a trance doing the work, you know, kind of working on some stuff. I hardly even looked at the canvas. I just kind of put my nose real close to it, and I just went off the emotion I was feeling. And my application, people are saying, oh, his application is probably pretty formal because of the Mona Lisa thing that he painted. No, it wasn't. It wasn't formal like my earlier works. It was more, I don't know, gestural. Gestural? Make it as in... you know, lots of gestures, windmilling my arms, zigzagging, just fluttering the paint brush right in front of the canvas. And only when I felt it was done did I actually step back and look what I did. So I'm like, all right, painting, speak to me. And I have no friggin' idea what it is, what I did. It's just lost to me. It's like it was painted by someone else. The meaning of the painting is hidden under layers and layers of paint, which is upsetting, because if I don't know what the meaning of it is, like, who will? How can I tell people about it? When people are looking at it, what am I supposed to whisper in their ear? Like, it's about autumn. Can't you see it? It's about autumn. See how it's supposed to be like a field of flowers. Like, okay, yeah, I got it. Oh, yeah, that is really good, Bucci.
Beep, 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 Bucci.
So maybe I thought, like, hey, okay, what if I titled the painting? What if I gave the painting a title? That would give me, like, a frame of reference for interpreting the work. And so first I call it Bucci, which is my go-to. Boom, Bucci. But that felt wrong. So then I called it Untitled, but that didn't give me any insight, and then I went back to Bucci again. And I kind of went back and forth, you know, but finally I landed on Very, Very Untitled, which is because it's very untitled. It is, but it's like a stranger in my art studio. I let a stranger in my art studio. This is like a personal thing. And I painted someone else's shadow, which instead of my own. Which is my main beef, by the way, with a lot of type of painters and paintings that they do. These things are, we can admit it, right? These things are meaningless. Like, take a realist, like John Singer Sargent, my man, John Singer Sargent. You look at that portrait of Madame X, you are really looking at that portrait of Madame X. What you see is what it means. Any of his portraits that he did, you know, those ones where it's the Duke and the Duchess and their creepy children, and they're in a doorway, but the doorway behind them is all black. And you can kind of see, like, okay, that means probably they're, you know, the darkness is enveloping them, probably. And soon the darkness will overcome them and replace them with communism, probably. And so that, I can take that and I can go, okay, all right, good. And I can feel, because I know what it means, I can feel it, feel something about that. But some of these dang impressionists or cubists or expressionists or neo-expressionists or post-internet artists, whatever, they're just ripping you off. They're giving you, it's like eating pasta without knowing why. I thought for sure that'd be a Bucci adage. So I thought maybe I could take this question to you folks. What do paintings mean? Seriously. And I'm talking about not the portrait ones, but the more abstract ones. I have a stack of paintings here. Right here, hold on. So I got a stack of paintings. All of them, I have no idea what they're talking about in them. And I'd like some help telling you, what do they mean? I also have, you'll love this, figuratively, I also asked a bunch of FMU DJs to provide their own paintings for interpretation. I have this one from Mona, and it's really dramatic. It's bold. It's got blue and white, big furious brush strokes kind of across it, but they're wild, and it's hard to figure out what she's trying to say there. Is it a dream? Is it about her frustration with tariffs? So I finally asked her, and she said, it's a pelican in a toilet. Simple as that. And then I looked and I'm like, oh yeah, guess it does kind of look like a pelican in a toilet. And she's like, oh yeah, there's the, it's babies floating behind it. And she said, I said, well, how'd the pelican get in the toilet? And she said, that's up to you to decide. I'm like, okay, no problem. Now I can let my imagination, go, that I have a starting point. So I have those. I have a couple others from other DJs that you might want to interpret. And if you have a painting of your own that you would also like us to, you have, like me, that you did this thing and you don't know what it is, call up and describe it. And maybe I can help you, figure out what you're trying to say here. Because there's got to be, art needs to mean something. But what's frustrating is when they make it hard for you. It's really, almost cursing. It's really cursing, not good. It has to mean something. It can mean something. Or I guess it can mean nothing. It better mean something. It's the Screaming Females.
Don't forget to call in on the topic. The topic of the day is...
What do paintings mean?
So call in with your response now. 201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368. One more time, 201-209-9368. And give Bucci your answer now. Now, back to the music. Music.
Bucci! I don't like that. All right, we're back. We are interpreting paintings. I have a bunch of paintings that I need to know what they mean. And if you have any paintings that you have no idea what they mean, call up and I'll give it my best shot. Caller, you got Bucci.
Hi, Bucci. It's Franco.
Hey, who's this again? Sorry. I missed it.
Franco.
Oh, hey, Franco. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm good today.
Oh, good. Oh, so, Franco, you're an artist, right? Of some
I am.
And do you work in oil or watercolor or mud or whatever?
I worked in oil painting on canvases for years. I've moved on to something else.
Right.
But yes, I'm very experienced with oil paint and canvas.
Oh, okay. Do you have the problem that I have where you create work and then you kind of have to figure out what it means, like you built the barn and then drew the target after, or whatever that expression is?
Well,
the answer should be
first
yes.
of all, there's some parallels in our in our young lives. I like you. had to do work other than being an artist because I was let's say I was untamable at school.
Untamable. Yes. See, right there. You were probably ready to go to work. You're like, I can't wait to go work at the Piggly Wiggly.
Well, it wasn't like that.
Can I please work at the Piggly Wiggly?
I dropped out of algebra for the third time.
Yeah.
And I had to tell my dad, and I remember we were standing in the kitchen, and I told him I had dropped out. And he was very disappointed because he wanted me to be an academic success. And he didn't yell at me, but he said,
"What are we talking
about? So what is it that you want to be, an artist bum who lays around on the beach all day?"
You said, "Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me, Bucci."
And that moment, he defined what I would become.
Right.
So, anyway.
Did you ever paint that frustration? Did you ever, like, okay, I am a frustrated teen, and I want to be an artist, so I am going to paint that emotion into a canvas, and then you try it, and then you're like, no, I blew it. This is about, I don't know, World War I, accidentally.
Yeah. Well, no, I think that our approach and our intention is a little bit different.
Okay, no, I would hope not. All right, so I have – do you want to interpret a painting for me? Because I have this painting over here, and I really need –
Sure.
Okay. So it's like in the lower left-hand corner, there's like a crimson kind of explosion coming out from the end, and then it kind of goes into these looping arcs, right, which kind of become pinker as they trail out, like these tendrils. And then there's like all this white space. There's like empty space. And then, but the space seems to be like swallowing the tendrils. And then you realize that the space isn't like the canvas itself, but they painted white on there and it's kind of bleeding into the red and color at the corner of the painting. What does this mean, Franco? It's just hogwash, right?
Well, yeah, yes and no.
Okay, that's
I think what you're describing is. You know, you could say the same thing about Francis Bacon. It's just like, why would someone who didn't know about painting and emotion would look at his paintings and think, why does he even try and paint the human body? He's unskilled,
right.
And he's incapable.
So do you think
but
this
think
painting's about the human body? Do you
Something about Bacon, Francis Bacon, and know something about the evolution of painting would have a completely different answer. And the justification there is he's internationally famous.
Right. what was the thing about him? Didn't his boyfriend die or something like that? Or there was something, I forgot what it was, but there was some traumatic event in his life that kind of spilled into his very disturbing
What I understand, why am I talking about?
We're supposed to be talking about this painting. So
he was a compulsive gambler.
Yeah. So do you think this is about...
there's something wrong.
Do you think there's some compulsion behind this? Like, why did I paint this? Do you think there's some sort of compulsion that I'm feeling? Like, what do these dang looping arcs of pink mean? Like, what is that supposed to mean? Tell me, Franco.
I think I'm incapable of telling you what it means.
Okay.
Because it means it is really some certain aspect of your deepest emotional turmoil.
I don't know. I don't think it is. I think it might be bad. I think it just might be a bad painting. Can it just be a bad painting?
Sure it can. There's millions of bad paintings, and a lot of them are in museums.
Ooh, shots fired.
Well,
but I mean,
I mean, look,
I'm trying to get an objective answer here. You know,
I can't without looking at it.
I just described it perfectly.
If I was looking at it, I would tell you something completely different. But you're trying to use language for a tool about something that isn't about language.
Well, but that's why I'm trying to break through here, you know? Like, the painting is I cut the painting to shape like a heart. It looks like a heart. So maybe it's about hearts, love. Could it be about how fickle love is?
Well, there's a lot of hearts in windows of stores around here right now. This is going to be Valentine's Day. Mm. But I don't think that's it. I think I'm going to hazard a guess here.
Okay, hazard
when
a guess. Please, you
school,
know me. You know me. Hazard a guess.
When you were in art school,
well,
you probably had
in art school
instructors, painting instructors, that try to use their own personal ideology to influence the way that their students painted.
Right, that's what I want to
is
do this
true?
Hour. Yeah, that's what I want to do this hour. I want to force an ideology onto this painting.
Were you so interpretive before you went to art school?
I was a poor.
You just
I was see.
You liked to?
I was a portrait painter. Most primarily, I was a
okay,
portrait painter.
Good.
So I would
that,
be like
that. Gives me something to work with,
yes,
right there.
This is my aunt.
Probably
she's giving me the middle finger. This is my uncle.
What
he is
year
doing
were
something
you in
I can't talk
school,
about on the radio.
Let's see, and taking painting classes.
These are my brothers. I'm pushing them
more
on the
or
train
less.
Tracks.
Well, I'm going to say that it's like when I think about my friends who actually went to art school, they were subjected to what their instructors thought was the correct thing to be doing.
Right, and I think they were right to
be successful.
Subjected to that.
And that doesn't, and the shoe does not fit on all people.
Yeah. I was just hoping to get an answer. I'm just trying to get a
renegade.
Real nailed
I didn't
down answer.
To anyone.
Okay.
But I was very talented.
Yeah, well, I'm
and
sure
funny,
you were.
So yeah, I got that. Away with it. Okay?
Okay. Well, Franco, I appreciate your insight. I know you come from an artist. I know you come from a place of, you know, wanting to, you know, express yourself truly and artistically and leave the meaning
sure.
up to the viewer and the outside eye. But I'm afraid just in the context of this hour, those answers are all wrong. You know what I'm saying? Just because I am trying to get I'm trying to get
right,
an answer.
You,
a sandwich is a sandwich is
really
a sandwich.
A really difficult task.
I know. These are difficult. I'm a very
describe something that I can't see.
Right. But I was hoping that my voice and emotions could my voice would be able to describe it. Franco, thank you so much.
Is
I'm
your
glad
art, is your
for
art,
you to call.
A lot different than when you were in art school?
Well, I was never in art school. I was a painter, a house painter. I was never an art school formalist.
I was a scenic painter. Okay. I painted sets.
Right. Sets
but
painter.
But it has absolutely
right.
nothing to do with the way I practice art at
right.
home.
Right. All right, Franco, that's you and I are simpatico, which I am sorry to say, but we come from similar
There's parallels, I can tell.
Yes. All right, man.
I'll leave it at that.
Yes, let's leave it right there. All right, Franco, glad to hear from you. Goodbye. Caller Igabuchi. Hello, you're on the radio.
Well, yeah, hey.
Hello. Hey, who's this?
Yeah, let me say, I like what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
It's like... you know, you present this thing,
so
and you're like, here, give it meaning, give it energy, give
right.
it
Yes, right. I know. Who is this again?
Beth.
Oh, hey, Beth. So do you have any paintings that you want me to help you or I can have? I have another one of these godforsaken paintings. Would you like me to try to describe it? Or do you have something of your own?
A black hole, but it's blue.
So you painted a black hole, Beth. Beth, you painted a black hole?
Thank you.
Listen, do you painted a black hole painting?
No, it's a blue hole. Like a black hole.
Ooh, a blue hole. That's pretty interesting because everyone's like, oh, I bet he's going to plant a black hole. And you went, about a blue hole?
Yeah. And I get like blue hole. Yeah, effect with whatever might want to go in there. Like
this is just a disaster.
Know, rather not abstract. It's just like line, notation.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's all getting sucked into.
Okay, I'm going to describe this piece of art and you're going to tell me, first off, what it means. Second of all, what do you think the name should be? Okay? So this is a long... All right, let me look at this. Which one do I want to do? Okay, this one. I did this one. Tell me what I did here. It's a thick black line going horizontally across the entire painting. And the canvas, it's about 20 feet by 10 feet. It's very large. So it's a long black line on a field of, like, luminous, like, purple. Like a glowing... It's kind of my own purple. I call it Bucci purple. And that's it. The end. What is that?
Yeah, it's, I don't know if it's a
That's
long
not the
title
answer I was going on. What does it mean, though? Does it mean...
in absence of sun.
It does. Is it about the Bush administration, maybe? Because...
No, because he was
He loved sun. Purple? Okay, so what is it about? Is it about freedom? Is it about mathematics? Because I really
it's
worked
about,
on this.
Yeah. It's about freedom and the absence of freedom. Like,
let me look at it again.
The light in the absence of light.
So you think it's about the freedom and absence of freedom simultaneously?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about something that you have to create. I mean, you're just looking at this thing, and you're going to get it in energy, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
You're looking at it,
All right. Well, I that was very... what's it called? What's the thing called? I got to put it on sale.
I tried to tell you, sunset in absence of sunset.
All right, that's fine. A sunset in absence of sunset. All right, Beth, thanks very much. 201-209-9368. I have all these paintings, and I have no idea what they mean. And also, if you have a painting of your own that you have no idea what they means, you know, I got all these WFMU ones. I cannot look at another Kent station manager Ken Basquiat knockoff. This one has a guy with a rectangle head and a weird mouth, and it says iHeartRadio, but it's crossed out. I just can't take another one. He just makes them every day. Caller Igabuchi.
Hello.
Yeah, Bucci. Hello. Who's this?
This is Leo.
Oh, hey, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Oh, fine. Do you have any art that you want me to interpret, or would you like to interpret some of this art?
I want to interpret some of your art.
Some of my own art. Okay. Let me see. All right, here we go. This is, it's very thick. I've layered and layered and layered the paint. There's big slabs, so it's like vertical slabs, almost like if you can picture Stonehenge, but it's not about Stonehenge, kind of like big, broad strokes going vertically down in the, like Stonehenge. Just think of Stonehenge, but the Stonehenges are like blue. And then there's mud brown at the bottom, and then it has a person sitting and looking up, and there's a word bubble that says, man, Stonehenge is really nice looking in the sunset. What the heck does that mean?
I think it's pretty obvious.
It's not about... If you better not say it's about Stonehenge.
It's not.
Okay, good. Because we are not the people looking at Stonehenge. We are looking at the person who is looking at Stonehenge. So there's another...
Bucci,
you know what I'm saying? There's a level... What? Tell me.
I do. The person represents you.
That person represents... I'm going to write this down.
The layers
person
represent your own layers of emotions.
Represents... Hold on. This is good stuff. Person represents me. The person does have a bucket hat on.
Depression.
I should have already known that. And then what do the slabs mean?
The slabs are just like...
My emotion? Like emotional slabs?
Yeah, like the weight that's on you. Like Stonehenge is...
And the magic of Stonehenge, right?
Yeah.
And everyone comes to see these Stonehenge. And as everyone comes to see my emotions, when I start breaking down, that's when all the people show up.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, that's good. And what's it called? Again, you know what? I'm going to call it Stonehenge.
Okay.
All right, Leo, sure. Thanks. That was very helpful. Thank you. The first helpful caller. Yeah, so let me go through. So that was helpful. I'm going to write. So I got one down. Stonehenge. That can go up on Instagram, Bucci Nights. I'm going to start selling those things. Like, not hotcakes, like bacon. Vegan bacon. So I have this one. This is Joe Magasco. This is very impressive. This is another large one. I would say 20 by 21. And it's just this red. It's red. It's all red.
Red.
And the redness echoes, you know? And it's just like the power of this paint. I can't even believe it. Joe's such a mild-mannered guy. There's this passion in it. And it looms over you. I'm like, let me look at it. It's just like looming over me. Like it's going to fall on me and splash blood all over me. It's just so powerful. It's kind of like a Barnett Newman kind of painting. And this actually is a Barnett Newman painting. Joe just crossed out the name and put his name in it. This is going in the trash. Man, I really crumpled that painting up. So Joe's just ripping off Barnett Newman. Caller, you got Bucci.
Hello, is this DJ Bucci?
Why is it so loud? Yeah, hey, this is DJ Bucci. Who is this?
This is Philip.
Hey, Philip. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Are these paintings you're describing, are they for sale now?
Well, I have to get the meaning first, you know?
Well, I like that Stonehenge one.
Okay,
that
is possibly for sale. So we turned out it's about my emotions and it's about me observing my own emotions from afar, and also the fact that my emotions aren't even all mine, right? Everyone can come see them when they start blooming. So I figured that out.
Are these recent emotions, or era?
We're going to move on from that one. We've already described. I need to move forward, if you don't mind, Philip. I have more.
I have more
paintings if you want.
Okay, yes. Continue, DJ Bucci.
Yeah, okay. So it's just Bucci.
Bucci.
So this is like worlds of, it almost looks like a space, right? It almost looks like space. It's like this worlds of color, and they're all churning inward. You know, they're churning. Can you picture them churning? And they're
like butter.
Like what? No, it's not
butter.
Like butter. More like a churning
butter.
More like a churning toilet. You know, like when you
clean the bowls.
So I shouldn't have said toilet. So they all churn into the center, right? They're fixed point.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And in
fixed point, all the stuff in the toilet is spinning around, going down the drain.
It almost feels like
ready
that.
To go out.
It almost
You're
feels
to
like
evacuate your emotions.
It's just like if you dumped a bunch of paint down the toilet and then pushed the plunger, and they all went down, right? But at the very, very center, almost imperceptible. There is, it says Bucci.
There's what?
It says my name.
What is the font?
What is the font? I don't know. It's kind
of... Yeah, what's the typography of it?
It's
is
just
it
my own...
Handwritten? Is it
it's
scrawled?
All my hand...
Is it
stenciled?
It's,
please,
it
do you want
serif,
me to tell
sans
you...
Serif.
Do you want me to tell you, Philip?
Of course.
It's just hand-drawn. I did it with a stick. So it's very, you know, it's very
thin
primal.
Thin stick, little stick, new stick.
You're missing the
were
point.
Were the buds on the stick?
So you're asking, so are you saying, basically, are you saying that this painting is about the making of the painting? Where it's about the tools that I use?
You could tell. Yeah, it's because you brought up the toilet component, and, you know, you can't use the toilet until you figure out how you got to there.
Bathtub.
So same thing with the painting. We have to know how you got to there to understand what is coming out.
All right, I'm writing all that down. All right, Philip, that's very helpful. And what is it called? Quick.
Oh, the painting?
Yeah.
It's called...
Caller Yobuchi. Just useless.
Hi, Bucci. I heard you talking about your emotions earlier.
Well, I was trying to. I think I'm talking about my emotions. Who is this again? Is this Franco?
Oh, it doesn't matter what my name is.
Oh, I see.
I just wanted to sing you a song really quickly.
No.
Very emotional.
No. I'm not thinking. Do you have any paintings?
I was born 3 months premature with disability. I know how lucky I am to be here.
Yeah. was pretty good. I like that. It kind of turned into a little bit of a audio painting, you know? And whether or not she intended, I'm going to call that painting Crank Caller Number 1. Caller Igabuchi. Nope. Caller Igabuchi.
Hey, Igabuchi.
Yeah, hey, who's this?
So I got a good painting for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have a painting that you want to you want me to interpret it?
Yeah, is that okay?
Go for it. Yes.
So it's a nighttime scene. Bunch of stars in the sky, pretty dark, and on top of that, it's just a two-dimensional line drawing of a staircase.
Of a what now?
Like a staircase.
Staircase. Okay.
Yep. That's it.
You wrote stairs on the stairs?
Yeah, so there's text at the bottom of the painting just says stairs.
Okay, so there's nothing so powerful as to give a thing a name, as you already know. So, like, you've named this thing, and so you've forced us to tell you, that is stairs. That is not up for interpretation. But it seems like this other part of the painting might be, you know, it might be like, are you afraid of anything? Do you have fears that you're trying to express in this thing? Possibly afraid of stairs?
Or alien abductions or
yeah,
something.
Or going to the gallows. You could be afraid of that.
I thought it was sort of a play on words like stairs and stars.
Oh, I see. Oh, and people are staring at the painting, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Seems a little Basquiat-y, but okay. So, this is your painting? You did this?
Yeah.
Hmm, I like it.
Yeah, it's...
And how big is it? How big is it?
It's about 4 by 6 feet.
All right, that's pretty big.
It's like a thick impasto oil on canvas.
Oh, it's a pastel oily kind of thing. Is it still wet? Because sometimes I like when the painting stays wet, and then you can kind of feel like it's just happened, you know? These paintings that dry, they're dead. As soon as the painting dries, it dies. So I kind of like the painting that stays always, you know, and you could name the painting a wet painting or something.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. All right, I forgot your name. Thanks very much. I didn't want to, but that painting sounds terrible. I don't know. Don't quit your day job. You know, don't stop being a sculptor. You know, as my father said, don't get me started on sculpting. That is a rich person's art. That is nothing. You know, when you have these in Chicago, there's all this painter or this sculptor who just like took the city for a ride, where it's just like these hoops of like orange, and it's called like hoop orange or something. It's nonsense. It's just like that. All that means is this guy has a big enough warehouse to make this stuff. Or the bean. Everyone knows about the Chicago bean. And you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. You can interact with it. You know, it's mirrored. You can look at it to make sure that you don't have any lipstick on your face or, you know, a big caro seed coming out of your teeth. And that's great. But then he named it like Sky Dancer or some such thing. Things called the Bean. 201-209-9368. Got about 6 minutes left. I have a bunch more paintings. I got some of these WFMU DJ paintings. I got a Billy Jam painting. It's beautiful. And he traditionally paints by, like, what is the method? He stains thinned paint directly onto, like, an unprimed canvas. So it's got this flimsiness to it. You can the paint is barely there, and you can see the texture underneath. Your guess is as good as mine is what it means. Could mean keep watching Yellowstone, baby. It ends really well. You know, it seems like it's kind of treading water now. But boy, with those last couple of episodes. Call Igabuchi.
Hey, Bucci, it's Bandit.
Oh, hey, Bandit. How are you?
I'm okay.
Oh, good. I have a painting here. Maybe you could tell me what this means. It's like the Magritte painting, Apple Face?
Yeah.
Okay. So I painted that, except it's instead of the apple, it's the Apple podcast symbol. And the title of the painting is called Subscribe. What do you think that means?
I think that could mean the how man currently wants to hide behind the guise of being famous, so they just start a podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, then trying to hide what they actually feel and just making mass media.
I see.
Instead of making media that actually means something.
Yeah. I'm afraid, Bandit, that is wrong. It means subscribe to Bucci's podcast. So you did blow that a little bit.
Oh, I have a painting.
You thought, all right, go ahead.
It's a sailboat on some water, and there are two little clouds. It's like a 2D painting of a sailboat with two little clouds.
Yeah. Keep going. Is that it?
That's it. That's
sailboat. Is anyone in the paint? Is there anyone on the sailboat?
No, it is an empty sailboat.
Who is the person? Who is looking at this painting? Like, in your mind, who is the person who is noticing this sailboat in this idyllic situation? Who is it? Is it you? Is it everyone?
It's just a painting I bought.
Costner?
I don't know. Maybe whoever's in the water, because it doesn't. You're not on a pier or anything. It's
right.
Just kind of, the boat is on the water.
Interesting. And so maybe there's a longing there, like you want to be on the water. Maybe you are stuck at work at the meat slicing factory, and you're looking out the window at this beautiful idyllic situation. Now, you don't see that horror. You only see the idyllic situation, the boats and the water and the breeze and the puffy little clothes. But the person viewing it is actually in a bad situation, in hell, maybe.
Okay.
And that's what that painting means. Nailed that one. I have another one, Mickey Mouse. Oh, this is actually one of Micah's. It's Mickey Mouse, but it's made of newsprint. And it's like kind of layers of Mickey Mouse and newsprint. Micah, what does this mean? This Mickey Mouse painting that you did.
Which one?
It's the one that looks kind of like it's got the layers of Mickey Mouse on it. It's got two Mickey Mouses next to each other, and they're made of newsprint.
The thing about art and painting, it doesn't mean anything. It is what it is.
So you're saying I wasted my time here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It is what it is. But what about? You ever see those big Barnett Newman paintings? The big red field.
Yeah.
You think that is what it is?
Exactly. That's what painting is.
I think you're wrong about that. I don't know.
You're projecting your this concept that this academic top-down concept.
Right. Exactly.
On art.
See, you got
which
it.
Is,
Perfect.
Which is the.
It's the death of art.
It's the dilemma of the.
So what about a portrait picture? Do you think that is what it is when it's about, like, the Tsar of Russia and it's, like, him and his finery and his dying children? Do you think that is what it is?
No, see, that's different. That is purposefully meant to aggrandize the subject.
But you could do it subtly. You could de-aggrandize, what if it's, the way that the expression of the Tsar could mean, like, he's worried about something. He's shaking his head. All right.
You just don't get it.
Yeah, look, I think we're just at an impasse here where he thinks that art doesn't mean anything, and I says it's very specific meaning, which I think this hour proved.
Bucci.
So if you have any more art that you want me to interpret, you can email BucciKnights at Instagram, or if you want a sticker, by the way, you can email me BucciWFMU.org, and that's a piece of art that should be hanging in your living room. All right. 201, that's the end of this hour. You've been listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, New York City, and Rockland County at WMFU.org. Up next, Music of Mind Control. Who listens to Bucci? You, Ducci.